Would you take your Bible and let's turn to the Old Testament Book of Wisdom, Proverbs chapter 31. Now, you might be one of those mothers that when you hear Proverbs 31, you say, "Oh, no. Oh, no. This is going to be about that perfect woman, that one that did everything right, does everything right," and that's not what I'm going to talk about this morning. Proverbs 31 does talk about an ideal woman, an ideal mother, and we would maybe think that she seems to be perfect, but we know there are no perfect mothers, no perfect people. But yet it does talk about an excellent wife and an industrious mother and all these good things about her. That's not what we're going to talk about. We're not going to deal with verses 10 through the end of the chapter. We're going to deal with the first 9 verses. We're going to look at what his mother, Solomon's mother, taught him, told him, gave him some advice. Beginning in verse number 1, the words of King Lemuel, that's speaking of Solomon, King Solomon, an oracle that his mother taught him. "What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty, and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy." We'll stop our reading there at verse number 9. Something was shared this morning on Facebook, and Shonda, I hope you don't mind me sharing this picture. Shonda said, "This is my mama's hand." My mama's hand in this picture. She's holding my daddy's hand as he lies in a hospital bed, unsure of the future. As I look at that hand, I see a lot of things that I love. My mama's hands held me when I was born and nurtured me through life. My mama's hands worked tirelessly to put my daddy through seminary. My mama's hands washed clothes and dirty dishes and cleaned bathrooms to make our house a home. My mama's hands caressed the face of a son now in heaven. She held the hand of my daddy when we thought we had lost him. I often think about the strength in my daddy's hand, but forget the love that was always in my mama's hands. She has become my best friend, the one that I can't wait to share life's ups and downs with. And I'm so glad that God gave me to her so she could be my mama. I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's day. I know that must have blessed your mama. That blessed me, just knowing the situation, knowing the sacrifice, knowing how tough these last few years have been with your father's infirmity. But many of us could give a similar story. We could tell about our mama's hands and how our mama's hands, like no other hands, daddy's hands are different, mama's hands, how special. The hands that dealt with us through the night as young infants and young children, and up all nights, cleaning up the spit up, cleaning up the vomit, cleaning up, wiping up, doing all that mamas do. And the majority of us probably don't think about that on a daily basis. When do we begin to get very sentimental and we begin to think about things when they're gone? That's when we say, I wish that I had done this or that. I wish that I would have asked them questions about this, that, or the other. I wish that I could once again tell my mother how much I love her. How many of you, your mother has already gone on? Can I see your hands? There's an empty spot in all of us on days like Mother's Day. How many of you still have your mother? Could I see your hand? How blessed you are. May God today speak to your heart and help you to love and appreciate and care for and tell and show your mother how special she is to you. There are no perfect mothers. Your mother was a sinner just like my mother was a sinner. Your mother made mistakes. Your mother was not a perfect individual. But we love them in spite of. We love them in spite, just like they love us in spite of us being sinners. There's another woman. I want to put her mother's picture up on the screen. This woman, you don't know her. You've never seen her before, probably. But this newspaper editor up north, she wrote this piece for their paper and put her mother's picture there. The newspaper editor is Joan Dyer Zener. This appeared this morning. She entitled the piece that she wrote, Memories of Mother's Advice. Now, I'm preaching this morning the message on a mother's advice to Solomon. But her article, Memories of Mother's Advice. As Mother's Day is upon us, it seems timely to pass along some of the advice that my mother gave to me. Like most daughters, I didn't think her advice was very important at the time. But as the years go by, I realize she passed along a lot of wisdom, which she modestly attributed, that was just common sense. Not only is her counsel good for today's women, but it would also be good advice for our elected officials to heed. First, she cautioned me, don't buy things you can't afford. Simply put, don't cultivate a high-end appetite on a low-end budget. She advised me to use credit thoughtfully and sparingly, even today. She says, when I am tempted to break my budget with an expensive and usually non-essential purchase, I consider her advice. Consequently, I've never been burdened with excessive credit card bills or out-of-sight mortgage payments. She goes on to talk about how that she could see her mother shaking her head at some people's situations because they didn't handle their money right. Although she never referred to it as recycling, my mother was very thrifty. She was a master at using and reusing almost everything in our daily lives. Looking back, I attribute this to her family living through the hard times of the Great Depression. Any of your parents lived through the Great Depression? Could I see your hand? A few of you. And they were very, very particular about things because they knew what it was to really suffer. She says, my mother saved soap, newspapers, aluminum foil, scrap metal, cooking grease, all to help in the war effort back in the 40s. Outgrown clothes were always passed along to younger children in our large extended family. And my mother's and her sister's exchanged clothing items, depending on which one had gained or lost the most weight. My mother taught me cleanliness. She said cleanliness was next to godliness, and neatness was probably a close third. All were good attributes when keeping house or seeing to our personal hygiene. And like most mothers of her era, she maintained an official housekeeping schedule. Listen, wives, listen, mothers, listen to this regimen. Monday was wash day, and it wasn't like the kind of wash days that we have. It was all day wash day. Tuesday was ironing day. Wednesday, shopping, going to the grocery store. Thursday, sewing. Friday, cleaning. And Saturday, baking. Sunday was a day of rest and worship. And the cycle resumed on Monday. Well, she goes on to share other things, but just little special tidbits about her mother. And when I looked at her mother's face, I don't even know this woman, but I entered into that article and the blessing that she was sharing there about her mother who gave her good advice in those past years. Well, here's a mother who gave some good advice to what is being called as the wisest man that ever lived, except for Jesus. Yet he made a mess of his life. Yet he fell in all types of temptations. Yet through all of this, God gave him some wisdom. Wisdom that we need today. I need today. You need today. I want to point out these things. We're going to just look at verses 1 down to verse number 9 in these next few minutes. If you will, look there at verse number 1 and verse number 2, a mother's advice to her son. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. Now, Solomon is speaking here in the third person. He's referring to himself here. And his mother, you remember who his mother was? His mother had a past. Thank God that God puts in his word those who had past and had failures and had heartache because of disobedience. Thank God that those things are included in the Scripture. It gives us hope. Remember who his mother was? Bathsheba. And the sin of adultery with King David and Bathsheba. And that pregnancy that resulted, of course, the baby died because God's displeasure of what had taken place. But she had another son, Solomon. And here he talks about Mama giving me words of wisdom, an oracle that she taught me. If you'll notice there in verse number 2, three times she asked the question to her son, "What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows?" She refers three times to Solomon, King Lemuel, the man of wisdom, as her son. What are you doing? What are you thinking? How are you using your giftings and your position and your power? What are you doing? What are you thinking? She's going to give him some things to think deep about in the next few verses. But you and I need to do some thinking. We all to ask ourselves, just do it right now. Not out loud, but in your subconscious, in your mind and in your heart. What am I doing? What am I doing? How am I living? Am I doing right? Am I doing wrong? Am I living according to God's way? What are you? What are we doing? Now, verse number 3. Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. Isn't that kind of strange that that's the first thing she starts out with as far as advice? No, it's not strange, because this is the killer. This is what killed him as far as his kingship and his reign and all that God had blessed him with. Women. Sex, folly. King Solomon, he did not heed the advice of his mother about don't give your strength away to women. You read in Proverbs where it talks about many strong men have been made weak. They held tight a kingdom, but they were brought down in their kingdom by a woman, by a seductress, by a seducer, by one who blinked her eyelashes or smiled at him. She said, "Son, don't give your strength to women, or your ways to those who destroy kings." Do you think that maybe Bathsheba, in saying this to her son, is thinking about what she and David, the king of Israel, what they did, and the destruction and the heartache that followed that? When David saw Bathsheba upon the rooftop bathing, we know that he could have turned his head. He didn't mean maybe to see that sight. Maybe he planned it. I don't know. But the fact is, that when we see something or we are in a situation and immediately a temptation is confronted us, we have a choice to turn. We have a choice to run. We have a choice to not continue to think, meditate, or watch. But he watched. He lingered. He lusted. And the next day, he sent for Bathsheba. We're talking about Solomon's daddy, David. Bathsheba's soon-to-be adulterous partner. He sent for her. And they committed the act of adultery. They committed the act of sexual intimacy. That which is reserved for the marriage bed. That which God has blessed the marriage bed. Anybody that uses a bed illicitly, Hebrews says in chapter 12, adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. But he also says in that same verse, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. The bed, the marriage bed, that is God's gift of intimacy to a husband and a wife in the bonds of holy matrimony. Only in the bonds of holy matrimony. To do anything outside of that husband and wife relationship, God says he will judge that. It cannot be blessed. But why is it done? Why would you sacrifice and put in jeopardy a marriage, children, a profession, all that would be destroyed if it was found out? Here it is. This is why it's all gambled with. A momentary pleasure. Just a momentary pleasure of the flesh. As a teenager and as a young man that God saved in 1969, and the battles of the mind and the battles of the heart and the battles to be pure as according to God's word, I heard a preacher say, sin is but a moment of gratification, but an eternity of remorse. To trade just a momentary gratification and lose the family, lose the kingdom, lose harmony and happiness and peace in a family, give it all up for a momentary fling of the flesh. It does not make sense. Yet, if you read chapter number 6 and chapter 7 of Proverbs, you'll see, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can a man walk upon hot coals and his feet not be affected? Sin always has a payday. It always has a hurt. Sin always has a consequence. And here his mother was saying to him, from experience no doubt, don't give your strength to women. Don't let your ways wind up destroying you. Mothers, you have an opportunity and a Well, just a great opportunity in bringing up children to talk about the ways of a woman and the ways of a man. But yet, I'm afraid that in our society today, not many mothers, present tense, had mothers who talked about those things because they say, oh no, I don't want to talk about those things with my daughter or my sons. But who better to talk about those things? A mother's advice to her son, number one, stay away from women. Meaning the strange woman, meaning not your wife, meaning in these different experiences that will surely come to you in the future. Number two, she talks to him about, let's just say, liquor. She talks to him about whiskey. She talks to him about strong drink. Look at verse 4 and 5. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink. God's word made it clear in the Old Testament that the kings, those in authority, were to lay away, lay aside, not imbibe. Even as it says in the New Testament to the pastor, the preacher, the elder, that we are not to be given to strong drink. Why? What is the consequence? What does she say in verse number 5? She says, lest they drink and forget. Lest they drink and forget. Forget what? Lest they drink and forget what has been decreed. Forget what has been decreed. What has been decreed? What has been given to us of God's decrees? God's word, God's law, God's commandments. When you get strong drink in you, it affects your mind. It affects your judgment. It affects you. You can't do that, King. You can't do that. Drink and forget what's been decreed. You might wind up perverting the rights of all the afflicted. If you're in a place of responsibility, you need to lay off. You don't need to drink. You need to stay away from that. That's what she's saying to her son. How many of you have gotten in trouble because of what you put in your mouth, what you swallowed? Here it's talking about drink, but of course we know in our society that drugs, all types of tablets, all types of things you can smoke, all types of things that will alter your mind, alter your judgment. Stay away from it. You can't have that in your life because it'll ruin you. It'll take from you. It'll cause you to mistreat people. Some of you know that by experience, that by putting these things, these foreign things into our bodies, it causes us to think crookedly. It causes us to act crookedly. It causes us to turn on the people that loves us the most. To steal from them, to lie to them, to hurt them with the worry and hurt them by the pain of seeing their most valuable thing in the world, their child, be all messed up in the head and in the heart and make all kinds of terrible decisions that lead to consequences of pain, heartache, and ruin. She says to her son, Don't forget who you are. Don't forget what God has called you to be. Don't forget that you have the lives of other people in your hands. So lay off of this strong drink. But then she goes on in verse number 6 and 7 to say that there is a place medicinally for strong drink. She says in verse number 6, give strong drink to the one who is perishing. And here's a picture here, the same thing that we would do in a hospital. We would do being cared for by a physician. We would be given some painkillers, or we would be given something that would ease us. The person who is perishing, the person who's in bitter distress, at least let them die peacefully, or to have the edge cut from that dying experience. Let them drink and forget. Just let them forget as they're about to perish, that they remember their misery no more. So there is a place medicinally, as he's speaking here, they didn't have the medicine, they didn't have the things that we have today, of course. Here's the last thing she says to her son in verse 8 and 9. Open your mouth. Open your mouth for the mute, or the person who can't speak, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Speak up. Open your mouth, Solomon. King Solomon. Open your mouth for those who can't speak, for the rights of all those who are destitute. The greatest travesty and the greatest horror of carnage our world has ever seen has been since the 1970s. Yeah, I know about the Holocaust back in the 40s, 30s and 40s. I know about all the different world dictators and all the carnage. But since 1970s, the legalization and the destruction of those in the womb who cannot speak for themselves. You know where the most dangerous place in the world is? Statistically, the most dangerous place is not in the Middle East somewhere, or in Somalia, or some of these places around the world, or in the ghetto where all the killing goes on. And statistically, the most unsafe place, the chance of you being killed, is in the mother's womb. Statistically, worldwide. The killing, not only killing the baby, but the scarring of the mother, in the mind and in the emotions of the mother. And if you are in the earshot hearing this today through this microphone or on the internet in the future, and you have experienced that where you had an abortion, God forgives. God will wash away. He will take that hurt and that horror of the past. He'll forgive you of that. And you can, from this point forward, be one that speaks for the silent. Just like his mother says to him, "Son, don't you be quiet. Son, open your mouth. Speak up. Be heard. Be counted. Judge righteously and defend the rights of the poor and the needy." Not only was in this situation thinking about abortion, but of course, as the king, as one in authority, he was to do everything he could to make sure that people were not mistreated. For anyone to be mistreated, and you have the power to step in, you have the power to speak up, and you don't, you're guilty. We're guilty. We share in the blame. You and I must speak up. We must be counted. We must be heard. People might slap us down. People might ridicule. People might this, that, and the other. But at least we speak up. So Solomon, stay away from women. Stay away from wine. Stay away from silence when you have the power to do something about situations. As I close this morning, can I ask this question? What kind of advice are you giving your young'uns right now? What kind of advice your young'uns, your grandchildren, they look at you, mom and daddy right now, they look at you. We're not just talking about mamas, we're talking about daddies too. Your children, those that look at you, what kind of example are you to them? What wisdom do you give them? What warnings do you share with them? What landmines do you warn them? Don't walk like this. You can't see them, but there's landmines. There's bombs been put, IEDs. There's places that where you walk, one step can destroy you. Are you warning the people you're supposed to love the most? Are you giving them the advice that they need? Do you bring them to sit under the preaching of the gospel where they can hear also a preacher expound those truths like we're doing this morning? What kind of example are you? Every one of us have been bad examples to our kids. Every one of us. Just in case I'm missing something, is there anybody here that say, "I have never been a bad example to my children"? Can anybody? Okay, so all of us admit we've been bad examples to our children. The times that I've been a bad example to my children by not saying something or by doing something myself that they observe in my life, what can we do about it once it happens? Repent. Say, "I was wrong." Even to the point of saying to a child, "Your daddy did wrong," and asked, "My child, would you forgive me? I shouldn't have said what I did. Would you please forgive me?" If you got a pencil, if you have a pencil, you usually have on the other end of the lead a what? Thank God for erasers. Thank God. That's why when I write in my Bible, I don't use ink. I use a pencil, because many times when I'm marking a verse or circling something, my handwriting's not that good, and I don't like the way I didn't do that circle good, or I messed up the markings here, or I misspelled a word. Thank God I can take the cap off of that pencil and mark it out, erase it. And that's what, please don't, I'm not equating repentance to just do whatever you want or mess up and then just say, well, I can erase it. No. I'm talking about thanking God for second chances, thanking God for reversals, thanking God for repentance. And God, as he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thank God for that. But what some of you moms and dads need to do today is this afternoon, you need to look a child, maybe a grown child, in the face. Or if you have to pick up the phone and call them because of the distance, you need to tell them, I was wrong. I've been wrong. I did wrong. And then those words that are hard to say, don't say I apologize. Don't say apology. I apologize to you. I don't go to God and apologize. I go to God, I confess, and I ask forgiveness. Will you forgive me? Mom or dad, is there a child you need to ask? Child, son or daughter, do you need to ask a parent, please forgive me? A sibling, brothers, sisters? Somebody in your family, somebody at work, somebody in the church, go to them. Be an example to your children by asking them. Now you say, but you don't know what they've done. Don't worry about that. That's not your problem. You can't handle that. That only they and God can deal with that. You take the step. You take the momentum. You step first and say, I've been wrong. Would you forgive me? You say that they don't want to hear that from me. When they sense a sincere heart and maybe even tears in the eyes and tears in the voice and the choke in the voice, you'd be amazed at what tears do to hard, calloused hearts. Would you today be an example? Would you be an advice giver to your children, your family, and others? And would you speak up in the days ahead? Let's pray. Today I've not talked about the gospel. The gospel is Jesus dying upon the cross for sinners to be saved, for our sins to be paid for. I mentioned it in the catechism. I mentioned it a little bit later. But I'm saying to you today, you that are here that are outside the grace of God, you're outside the family of God, would you turn to him today and believe his gospel, what he did upon the cross, and claim that as your own? Claim that and believe upon him. Ask him to save you, to change you, to make you a new creature in Christ. Do that right now, right where you sit. You don't have to get up and come down front or go out back, or you don't have to do anything as far as physical movement right where you are. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And then with the mouth confession is made. Right in your heart, right at this moment, would you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope, as your only Savior? Call out to Him in your heart of hearts, and He promises that anyone, everyone that comes to Me, I will in no wise, under no circumstance, cast out. Call out to Him and He will save. Jesus saves sinners like me and like you. Be saved today. And mothers, fathers, parents, children, brothers, sisters, may this day, 2019, Mother's Day, may today you make some decisions to deal with issues of the past and issues of the future. God help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. At the end of the service, I'll be down front when we're dismissed, and anybody can come and talk with me. We can pray together. If you want to get together at your house or get together somewhere so we can talk, be glad to do that. Let's all stand and sing this last song together. Only trust in that.
My sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord.
Listen.
And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him.
Right now. He will save you.
He will save you.
He will save you today.
For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him,
only trust Him now. He will save you.
He will save you.
He will save you.
He will save you now. And join this holy band and on to glory go. Celestial land where joy's immortal flow.
Come join.
Only trust Him. Only trust Him.
Be saved today.
Trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you.
As we dismiss, this is the benediction. This is the word of God from Proverbs chapter 1 that I want you to think about. My son, do not forget My teaching, but let your heart keep My commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 3. through four. Let's bow our heads. Just a moment. The music will start, signifying that our service is over. Please do business with the Lord today. I'll be here to help you if you need me.
Amen. Have a good afternoon. Mother's Day. No services tonight. Don't forget that.